Good afternoon and shalom. Blessed be the name of Jesus. We are in the book of Luke, chapter number 9, and we want to focus on verses 18 to 36. In this portion of scripture, we want to learn how Jesus revealed his four dimensions to the disciples. Jesus, we discovered that he is the desire of all the nations, but he kept revealing himself progressively, little by little, until people grow up. Jesus would want to reveal more of himself, but he could not do that until some people grow up. So he was to reveal the four parts of himself. And so in this portion of scripture, we discover that Jesus takes his disciples into a private tuition. This is another what we call me time. This is another one that we call quiet time. I could have said, before Jesus introduced the four selves, the four parts of Jesus, it will be good for us to realize that while Jesus lived here on earth in his public ministry, he spent his life and he invested his life in three ways. He invested his life with his father. That was the first investment. He gave a third of his time with his father. This is the supernatural meeting with his the father. This is a time he would go to hear what the father has to say concerning the ministry of manifesting himself and delivering the people and really preaching the good news. He would spend during the day, he would go at night, he would go early in the morning in different places, and he's begun the ministry. We'll see this later on, that he had to spend 40 days. Then he spent his another third with his disciples. And what was he doing with the disciples? Is to teach them, is to educate them, is to instruct them, is to let them know who he is to give them a perspective, a worldview. And a worldview, one of it is to give them a worldview of learning. He touched their hearts and he touched their heads and he touched their hands. There are three places that Jesus touched of his disciples. And he invested so much time with them until they could know the four dimension of himself. The other third he invested his life is that he spent time reaching out to the sick, to the poor, to the demonized, and to the people who didn't know God. And that's where everybody began. But when they become disciples, he take them to another class. So here in chapter 9 and verse 18, what we discover here is that once when Jesus was praying in private, and his disciples were with him, he asked them a question. You see, Jesus used question and answer method. Jesus was very good in what we call reflective teaching. He did not want to tell them the answer. He always wanted to let them become active learners. This is the best teacher who ever existed here on earth. So he asked them a question. Who do the crowd say I am? He knew what the crowd say, who he was. He knew what they say, who he was. But he wanted the disciples to discover for themselves. It's called discovery study. They replied, some say you are John the Baptist, others say you are Elijah, others say that you are one of the prophets of long ago has come back to life. Then he asked them another question, but what about you? He asked, "Who do you say I am?" The second most important question. You see, Jesus wanted the disciples to know, to go and investigate, or to give what they knew, what people, the people's perspective on Jesus, the target audience, what they say about Jesus. Then he says, "What about you?" He is spending a third of his time even changing their perspective, changing them, giving them faith, changing them their attitudes. Then Peter answered, "You are God's Messiah." The book of Matthew says it was God who revealed to Peter. And Peter said, "You are God, the Messiah. You are the Messiah of God. You are the desire of the nation. You are the Messiah." And Jesus told him, "Not flesh and blood that has revealed to you, but by my Father in heaven." So that means there is the level at which flesh and blood reveals to us. It's not bad. It's good for us to go to the scriptures and make us understand. When it is flesh and blood, that means it is we are discovering in our heads. Through the study, we go and investigate, we go do research. That's what we call flesh and blood. But the other one is that you discover, you get revelation through God. That is a spiritual part of it. So there are two ways, at least two ways you can know things. You can know by you discovering, going to discover, you going to ask what people say, and coming and report, or you can wait for God to let you know. And you can also do number three, to reflect and ask those questions. So Jesus predicts and reveals his four selves. What are the four selves of Jesus? What are the four dimensions? One of the dimensions of Jesus, which is just about to reveal, and this he was going to do it through flesh and blood. Of course, it was the Spirit that revealed that he is the Messiah. But through the flesh and blood, he is going to reveal that he is going to suffer. So one of the dimensions is called, he came from heaven to earth until death. And that is called, he remained as a servant who suffered. So one of the dimensions of the desire of ages is that he is a servant who suffered. The another dimension is that he is the Lord who died and resurrected. And number three, he is the priest who ascended on high and he is reigning to this very day. And the number four dimension of the desire of the nations is the one who is soon coming. Do you know that right now we have not experienced his soon coming? We are looking forward for that. How did he reveal those four selves of Jesus, four dimensions of selves? One is by just teaching them. Look at verses 21. Jesus strictly warned them not to tell anyone. Why did he warn them? I want us to balance between when we are supposed to go and practice what we have learned and when we are supposed to keep quiet what we have learned until we get the whole truth. You know, there is a place where we have to go and tell the people what the Lord has taught us, because there are some revelation that they are packaged and you're supposed to go. But there are other revelation that are in bits. They are called dots. And before we join the dots, we cannot be able to give people dots. Dots are ideas, are just some pointers. We have also not understood what it is all about. We have started to learn. And that's why I want to call the agents of change. Before you lead a full go out, it will be good for us to take time and join the dots and get a revelation and get knowledge and get wisdom and get insight. Not only points. We just don't go to preach points that we have heard. We have already experienced it. And Jesus wanted them to experience this. And that experiencing, it was very, very critical. So he, look at them. So he said, don't tell the people until you have been able to experience it. And this is what he told them. The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priest and the teachers of the law, and he must be killed, and on the third day he'll be raised to death. Now, there are two dimensions there that Jesus is revealing in those two verses. Actually, number one, he is going to say the Son of Man must suffer. It is not may suffer, it is a must. Disciples didn't have this information. In fact, the book of Matthew portray Peter taking Jesus aside and rebuking him because of saying that you suffer. But he was very, very clear that he's going to suffer, and he says they are going to suffer many things, and you shall be rejected. Now, this is what we have been looking for, you know, how they rejected, how those elders rejected him, how the culture rejected him. He said you'll be rejected by who? By the elders, number two, by the chief priest, number three, by the teachers of the law. And they not only reject him, they are going to kill him. They will kill him. And this is the life cycle of the Son of Man, of the desired of the nation. He's going to be rejected, but and he shall be killed. But he said on the third day, good news, he shall be raised to life. Now, this is the second dimension that he is now revealing to them. But remember, he is only telling them, but they must wait until he dies, so that now they receive the Holy Spirit and go and start preaching. But here he tells them, hold on, don't just tell the people. Learn, take time and learn. And I want to ask young people, in as much as you want to go out and give the small bits that you have received, it also be good for you to consider the big picture. If you do not have the big picture, it will be good knowledge is. Thab, the rule of thumb is, hold on, get the whole information. Don't just go speak things that you do not believe and you do not know. So he said that you are going to raise to life. That is about to be resurrected, Lord. So he taught them about his disfiguration, how he is going to go that. Then he said to them, he taught them that you must go to class. You must decide to follow me. I am releasing some knowledge to your flesh and blood, but you must decide. So he revealed to them now here that whoever want to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. And whoever want to save their lives will lose it. But whoever lose their life for me will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet forfeit their own self? Whoever is ashamed of me and my word, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his glory and in the glory of his Father. Now, he reveals that he will also come again in glory. And that's number four. Of course, number three is that he's going to ascend and be with the Father. And of course, he'll come again in glory. And so he is now revealing all those dimensions. But before he finishes, he takes the disciples, three of them precisely, to a mountain. He wanted them to experience these four selves of Jesus. He wants to have heaven speak to them. He wants the heavenly ministers who finished their ministry like Moses and Elijah to speak to them. He wants the Father in heaven to confirm those things so that as they prepare to go out, they know the four selves of Jesus. So about verse 28, about 8 days after Jesus said this, he took Peter, John, and James with him and went up to a mountain to pray. This is called the Mountain of Transfiguration. As he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became as bright as a flashing light. Now, this is what we call the resurrected Lord. They saw Jesus, the glorified Jesus. Not only the resurrected Jesus, the glorified one, where his clothes changed. And at this time he made them to see, because Jesus is the Lamb of God that was crucified, that was killed in the beginning. Yes, they are coming to kill him, but he says he was, you know, he paid in the beginning, but it's now coming to fulfill what he already did. So two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor, talking with Jesus. They spoke about his departure. Now he's talking about his ascension, his going, which he will, he was about to bring to the fulfillment in his Jerusalem. You see, now he's revealing more, and he allows these two heavenly beings, because they are no longer people now, they are the spirit of this man, because spirits are still there, their bodies rested, but we know that Elijah went with the body, but they, you know, their bodies are not on earth, they're in heaven, but they are discussing with Jesus about his departure. Peter and his companion were very sleepy, but when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and two men standing with him. As the two men were leaving Jesus, Peter said to him, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us put three tabernacles or shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." But the Bible says he did not know what he was saying. While he was speaking, a cloud covered them. A cloud appeared and covered them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. This is the glory now. A voice came from the heaven saying, "This is the Father. This is my Son. Father is speaking, whom I have chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, they found that Jesus was alone. The disciples kept this to themselves and did not tell anyone at that time what they had seen. Now, I want you to know that as they were in the mountain of transfiguration, Jesus is revealing himself. He went to this mountain of transfiguration, and he allowed himself to be seen in his glorious moments. He said, "You are going to see my transfiguration, you are going to see my disfiguration, my death. After that day, I will select, but after that, I'm going to ascend." And that was discussed by these two figures. And then as they were there, Peter woke up and they overheard what was going on. And Peter, not knowing what he was saying, he said he wanted to draw or to erect three shelters, one for Jesus, one for Moses, one for Elijah. But God interrupted and said, "Peter, not so, because Moses and Elijah has finished their work. We only want one tabernacle, only one. That is for Jesus. And that is the news, and that is what we preach." And the Father voice spoke, and he said, "Yes, we only want one tabernacle, and this is for my Son, whom I have chosen. Listen to him, not the others." Yes, we listen to Moses, who pointed us to Jesus. We listen to Elijah, who pointed us to Jesus. Moses represented the law, the first five books. Elijah represented all the other books, and they were all pointing to Jesus. But the Bible says that they did not understand. And by that time, they kept quiet until an opportune time. "Father, we thank you, and we want you to reveal yourself to us. In this time, as we wait upon you, just make yourself known to us. Let us know your suffering part. Let us see your resurrected part. Let us see your ascension and your glorified part. And let us see your soon coming. Give us the anticipation and help us to tell people about what we know about you." In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.